2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for this very day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Paul's making reference here to what happened with Moses when he would go up to meet with God. His face would shine with a glory, and it was of such an overwhelming nature that the Hebrew people, they would ask him if he could cover it up. Now, I don't know exactly what it was like, but if those people were asking him to put a veil over it, it must have been something more than just nice and pleasant. And I know that being around where the Lord is active in doing something, that you can have a brightness that comes upon you. You know, and it's often easy to tell, you know, who God's people are. I mean, because you can see it in them. You can see it on their face. This was something that was a step beyond. And I got to tell you, I am looking forward to that day when we can see him as he is. And, you know, he is preparing us for that time. You know, what we have now is something that is wonderful, but is just pointing to something that is greater and better. We have fellowship with him, and we have a taste of things to come because he sent his Holy Spirit. But there's going to be something that's better. And that's to come for us. And he says that, so Moses went up, he had to put the veil over his face. It says, to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. And interesting thing, but I do want you to notice that as he would leave from meeting with God one-on-one, and he would come down, and then he would meet with the people, at first when he would come down, the radiance was spectacular. But in time, it would come down, so his face would look normal. And, you know, life can be like that. You ever had a time like that, that maybe you get up in the morning, and before you do anything else, you have time with God, and you just feel so filled with his Holy Spirit? I mean, the day and age we live in has its ups and downs, and one of the ups is that you can pretty much get a hold of about any song you want to hear is at your fingertips. You can think of something that you heard in church 50 years ago, played on the organ. Well, you can look up organ and put the name of the tune in. You can probably find it. Some artist that you haven't seen for years, you could probably put in the information, you could find it. And you can have a worship service. And there's times when it's like you're reading his word, and it's almost like you can just hear his voice talking with you. And you worship him, and he seems so very, very close. But then, time being what it is, it's like our next appointment comes up. And you've got to get in the car, and you have to go wherever you're going to go. And sometimes the reality of where you go can have an effect on how you're feeling. I mean, I can think of times when I have had a time of worship, and then I could walk up here to the school. And being a private school, every one of these kids has parents and a family. And sometimes they come in, and they've got issues in their homes. They've got stuff going on in their lives. Some of the stuff that's going on or the issues that come up, it's like some of the things are difficult. And then I could could say, all right, I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to go over and maybe get a snack or pick something up over at Publix. And I walk into Publix, and there's the sea of humanity. You've got someone pulling in and taking a parking space that someone else thought they were going to get. And by the way, I did have my blinker on, indicating that I was going to pull in there. Why did you pull in there in front of me? And then you see everything else as you walk aisle to aisle, and all you need is a few hours of reality in our world, and sometimes it can have quite, it's almost like throwing a wet blanket on a small campfire. Seems like it can sometimes almost kill it out. And for Moses, that's what it was like. He'd come down among the people, and it's not like being around the people. The effect of coming down and being away from God and being around the people was that the radiance was fading. And he says, in the same way, this dullness, verse 14, it says, but their minds were made dull. And for this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed. There are things that will make sense to a child of God that will not make sense to someone who's not. There are things that someone who's walking with the Lord will understand, that someone who is not walking with the Lord will not understand. There are things that the faithful children of God will nod their head and they'll say, yes, yes, while the people that don't have time for the things of God will shake their head and say, that's foolishness. For some things are spiritually discerned. And there are things there's things that are beautiful, there's things that are wonderful, there's things that are meaningful, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in and cleanses our heart, and when His Holy Spirit comes and fills us, all of a sudden they make sense and we see these things. Sometimes I think about the things that we're debating in our society these days. A lot of them have to do with values. And I think for us as Christians, we feel that things that we see and values that we have are things that everybody should see that way and have those values. But what we find is that there's lots of things that they don't. I don't know about you, but it seems like every week that goes by, I find myself shaking my head going, how in the world could someone ever think that that's okay? Some weeks I feel like I'm saying that every single day of the week. How could people ever think that that's okay? But I'm thankful I got the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart and life, because I feel like He has given me eyes to appreciate things that are important to Him. And He's given me a heart to recognize and a heart to see the value in certain things. And here He's talking here about those of the Hebrew people that went through the motions, but they didn't have a heart that was changed. And it talks about the old covenant being read. They were around it, but it was like there was a veil over them. It was there, but they weren't getting it. One last little illustration here before I move on. I have been in some ways involved with youth ministry ever since I've been involved in the ministry. And you know, when you do youth ministry, you often do things that just bring in as many kids as possible. And you do fun things that they're going to enjoy. And then you'll have some sort of teaching, you know, to point them to the Lord. And there'll be kids there at those activities that their hearts are being changed. And at the same time, there'll be other kids there that can't wait for the event to get over because they can't wait to talk to their friend or they can't wait for some other activity that's going on. And you say to yourself, how could someone sit in that service and not receive? I don't know, but sometimes it's like that. And Lord knows, just being in church doesn't change anybody's life. You have to have a heart that's hungry for God. You have to have a heart that's open to listen to Him and to receive. Verse 15 says, even so, to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Verse 16, but when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That's encouraging right there. There is a blindness to people that do not have Christ, that when they come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that blindness is taken away, and for the first time they're able to see. But it takes a while to be able to understand and put it all together. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have Christian fellowship. That's why we have discipleship. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we've heard of two things that come now with Christ. One is the blindness taken away, and the second is freedom that is coming. Those of you who are a regular part of our congregation, you know that I have a younger brother that I pray for all the time. And he has never been walking with the Lord. Never. And he lives a lifestyle that's very, very sinful, according to the standard that we find in God's Word. And I was up in the night. I felt just like the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder, and I felt like I was supposed to get up and pray. And I got up and I was praying. And you know, the truth is that we can pray for people that are far, far away from God, because the Lord can cause their blind eyes to see. And the Lord can give them freedom. I think sometimes it's easy to get so disgusted with the place that some people are at. For a lot of them, they don't even know any better. They think that the life they're living is fine. All you need to do is turn on the news, and you're going to find in our country, you have people ready to march in the streets, sometimes for the most bizarre things in the world. I mean, let me just pick one out. The neo-Nazi groups. You ask yourself, how could anybody on earth want to be a part of a group like that? How could they? Well, I want to tell you, they are suffering from two things: spiritual blindness, and the devil's got them in bondage. They don't see the things we see. They don't get it. But underneath all that, there's a human being, and it's a human being who the Lord could take away the blindness. He could remove the veil so they could understand things and see things how things really are. There's people underneath that stuff. So we need to get very frustrated with the author of evil. We need to get very frustrated with the sin we see in our world, and we need to go to battle, which is on our knees. Remember that story that Jesus told us about the persistent widow that had to go before an unfair judge? And she just kept going before him and going before him and going before him until finally the judge agreed to hear her case and things were taken care of. And at the beginning of that little story, Jesus said what it was all about. In fact, if I'm ever teaching this in a class, I'll pull the parable up and I'll say, "What's the parable about?" And everybody will sit there, start reading it, and after they've read it, you know, sometimes I get all these answers and I'm like, "Wait a second. You didn't even need to read it to know what it was all about, because Jesus told you up front." He says, "Jesus shared this parable so that we would know that we should pray and not give up." And I want to tell you that you can pray for people that are steeped in sin, and underneath that sin is a human being that is blind and is lost. And don't expect that eventually they're going to clean up their act, because they probably don't even recognize that their act needs to be cleaned up. There are plenty of people living deep in sin that don't see anything wrong with the things that they're doing. They don't know the truth. They don't see it. And in many cases, they have surrounded themselves with fellow blind people. And they all comfort one another. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord is able to free people from sinful lifestyles. He's able to rescue people from the miry clay. He's able to reach in and pull them out. And I tell you, as Christians, we need to understand that God will reach in and pull them out because He is a faithful, wonderful Heavenly Father. Not because they're really a good person and they really should be saved. No! They're a despicable person making terrible decisions that are hurting this world and hurting their own life and supporting the cause of darkness. But God, in His grace, reached down and grabs people out of that stuff. And we can pray for them. Maybe in your mind you could sit back and you could think of some particular sinful part of this world that you have to be exposed to on a regular basis, maybe through your work or through the media that you're around. Well, you just do a little bit of looking and figure out who's the head of that organization, or who's the one that's kind of supporting it, or the mover and shaker, or who's the leading star that's their spokesman. And you could make your mind up that you are going to pray for that person. And I want to tell you that God, it's not like an even fight between God and Satan. If the Lord moves, it's just a slam dunk affair. Let me just use a quickie little illustration. Since we have a basketball hoop over here. If we had a little basketball competition between Jeff and Hunter, little game, I'm thinking it's probably going to be pretty close. They're about the same age. I think they're probably pretty close to the same ability level when it comes to basketball. I'm not sure. Could go either way. I have a feeling that Jeff thinks he's better, but I'm not sure that that's the reality. But in order to really understand how it works between our Heavenly Father and Satan, I would like you to imagine a basketball game one-on-one, Audrey Deal versus Shaquille O'Neal. We may love Audrey, but Shaq is going to win big time. If it's a game to 21, it's going to be 21-0. And when we are praying to the Lord, if you are praying about the world's most sinful person that you can think of, don't feel like, "Oh God, I just hope you're strong enough and I hope you're able." God's going to be like, "What are you talking about?" And all the angels of heaven are going to be like, "We appreciate that this guy's praying, but this guy's all doesn't get it." The Lord hears our prayers, and He is powerful, and He is able. And you know, as Christians, we can change this world of ours. When we see the sin flaring up, it's not a time for us to be hiding away. It's a time for us to be watching what's going on and praying and look at who's the people and just think about what could happen if God got a hold of this person right here. And what would happen if God got a hold of that person right there? And I'll tell you, the Lord in His wonderful grace often reaches down and gets those folks and brings them up out of it. What a wonderful testimony. Who gets all the praise and glory for that? It goes to the Lord. And everybody just scratches their head and they're like, wow. We need to be people that have great faith. We need to be people who will pray about the tough cases. And you just can't get all disgusted with their sin because sinful people sin. Sinful people do not honor God because they are blind and sinful. And often they are burdened down with a load of what Satan has done to hold them in bondage to the lifestyle they're in. You know, there are some people that you think about that I think about my brother. If my brother ever opened up his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a whole crew of people that he would have to explain what's going on with him. Because he's a key part of other people's lives who think just the same way he thinks. He is actively involved in supporting certain causes. And if all of a sudden he wasn't a part of that, people would be like, what's going on? Where are you? Why aren't you doing this anymore? And he's going to have to somehow come up with the courage to say, well, I'm looking at things different now. And there's probably some people that are going to get in his face. You see, this world he's worked himself into over time, in a sense, now has him tied in. He's like strapped down. Making any move is like next to impossible. But with man, it may be impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Let's continue on with this. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, and this is just a little reminder, is now because we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the Lord working in us. You know, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a well of water springing up within us. And I remember my grandfather had a spring behind his house that he had a pipe going into, so all the fresh water in his house came from that spring. And I remember him taking me out and showing me his spring. And he just got water just coming up. An infinite amount of water bubbling up out of the ground. Infinite. Grampy, does it ever stop? No. So if we got up in the middle of the night, it's still bubbling? Yes. And he's like, taste it. Doesn't it taste wonderful? Bubbling up. He says, we got a spring of water welling up within us. And I'll tell you what, it shows in our lives. And in the same way, when Moses came down from the mountain, he was shining. They had to put the veil over his face, and the more he was around the people, the more it faded. We got the Holy Spirit within us. We got the Lord Jesus Christ residing in our heart and life. And the longer we walk with Him, the more we shine. The more we love Him, the more we shine. And it isn't going down, it's going up. Amen? And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness. That's His plan for us, is that we are being changed to become like He is. I don't know if you are a fan or been exposed to the author C.S. Lewis. But C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Great Divorce. And in the book, you have a group of people getting on a bus, heading someplace, like heading to heaven. And it's interesting, before the bus leaves, many of them have all the intentions of going where the bus is going to go and getting on the bus. But when it actually comes down to it, they got all these things that they want to be a part of and they want to do. And when it actually comes time and being willing to get on the bus, they got a lot of excuses. And often when it comes down to this whole willingness to follow Christ, often people have things that they like that they don't want to let go of. You got things they're holding on to. But this whole process of being in Christ is something that the longer we walk with Him, the more in love with Him we grow. The more we walk with Him, the more our lives are transformed to be like Him. And there's a sense in which, as you grow in Him, there's going to be things that maybe you're holding on to. You come to a certain point, you're like, I don't know why I've been holding on to this, but I'm not supposed to hold on to this. And you're going to find that some things in life that maybe you had been comfortable with, I'm not comfortable with that anymore. That's a part of this whole growth process. It's a part of what He's doing. The unfortunate thing is sometimes people come and they don't want to let go of things. And they miss out on so much. Back to verse 18. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit. If it's God's will, I am 54 years old. If it's God's will, and I get 10 more years, I should be more like Jesus. In the way I look at things, in the way I act, in the way I treat people. And if the Lord would give me 20 more years, I should be even more like Jesus. So that if you got to know me at 74 and somebody said, oh, I knew him when he was back in his 50s, you'd talk about me and you'd go, they'd be, wait a second, this guy doesn't seem, he's not really the same guy as he was back then. Yeah, he's, the Lord's been molding him and shaping him. That's His will for our lives. We become more like Jesus. We reflect His glory more and more and more. That's what the Spirit working within us is doing. That's His will. All right, let me pray for you, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up and things at the close. Dear Lord, we love You, and we thank You for the work that You have done in our lives and that You are continuing to do in our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that a wonderful, encouraging, the presence of Your encouraging Spirit would strengthen us and direct us. Help us to remember, Lord, lessons that You have taught us. Help us, Lord, to see the beauty around us and strengthen us, Lord, in Your word and in this walk that we're in. Help us, Heavenly Father, to grow in our relationship so that we can help each other more. And thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.